I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The biggest issue is that it's extremely intense. Riding down a mountain fast in virtual reality is a lot of information your brain has to process.
Hello and welcome to Free Ride Podden. I hope you're all doing well out there. So, first thing to address, why am I speaking English? Well, turns out I did not quite do my homework for this interview. I approached Alexander Bergendahl, CEO of the ski and snowboard game Snow. Alexander replied telling me he was happy to take part, but that the interview had to be in English because he's not Swedish and he doesn't speak a lot of Swedish either. But it all went well. Anyway, Snow is a really cool and independent winter sports game, which is available on PC and PlayStation 4. I got to meet up with the crew in their office in Stockholm, and their office really looks just like any ski-related business would look like. You got pictures of skiers on the walls, you got Red Bulls in the fridge, and you even got a dog running around. But these guys are creating a video game. So anyway, we got to talk about what it's like to build a video game about snow sports, and I hope you like it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming over.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
Doing well. We are extremely busy here at the office. We are preparing to launch the PlayStation 4 version of the game.
Yeah, that's right. So the PS4 is about to drop soon?
Yeah, we are announcing today that we will be launching on PlayStation 4 on October 18th.
Cool. So today.
Yeah.
Perfect. And on October 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And could you tell us a little bit about the game?
Yeah, so Snow is the first open world winter sports game. It's free to play, so anybody can go ahead and download it. It's been on PC for the last few years while we've continued to develop it. We're all skiers and snowboarders here, and we really wanted to create something that represented the sports authentically, but also the culture of the sports. Often these games are kind of extreme with a lot of, you know, loud noises and flashy animations, and we really wanted to create something that showed the sport off and didn't try to comment on the sport and the culture behind it. So to do that, we wanted to focus on the open world aspect. You know, when you're on the mountain, you have endless opportunities of where to go. We wanted to focus on the core gameplay of making it feel real when you're riding, which is a lot of physics. And then we wanted to bring in all the biggest brands, athletes, events, and everything like that. So we were able to partner with a lot of skiers, like Tom Walsh, Tanner Hall, Jon Olsson. We've worked with Jesper Schäder, Henrik Harlow, and then bring in a lot of brands. We have a good dozen, nearly two dozen brands just from skiing. And we brought all their clothing into the game so the players can purchase that and customize their character. So we're trying to really create what I like to call the FIFA of winter sports.
Cool. Yeah, I love the idea, because we miss a winter sport game. And as a skier, I've always missed a ski game.
Yeah.
Because they're always about snowboarding.
Exactly. And that's why we started with skiing. When we started development, there's, you know, always been snowboarding games, but there's never been a skiing game.
Why is that?
it's just never been very cool. In the gaming world, regardless of people's preference for skiing and snowboarding, snowboarding has always been what people assume is the cool sport. And I think that comes from the fact that skateboarding games were the sort of first action sport games. And now when they started doing winter sports, it was clear that therefore snowboarding would be the first one. And I think that for us, that was what we first started with is, okay, let's focus on skiing. You know, with the new scooters community, there was a huge demand there for a game. And so we said, okay, let's go there. We will be the only people making a game for skiing. Let's learn as much as we can, get as far as we can with just skiing, and then add snowboarding after that.
Do you think it could be because I reckon that skiing is more popular in Europe, while maybe the classic like SSX games or something, they were developed in USA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know the exact stats of, you know, what's more popular and what's less popular here in the US, but yeah, I think people just generally assume that snowboarding is what the young, cool people do, and skiing has, you know, they came late to the whole freestyle scene with twin tips and all that, so people didn't see that, even though now skiing is definitely, you know, more popular than snowboarding again. I think it's just people need to realize that these are very similar sports, and sure, there's a rivalry, but these sports are pretty much the same. And they have their differences, but you know the core principle of the sports are very similar. And there's no reason that a game should just focus on one and not the other.
Yeah.
And that it's better for everyone if both are focused, both are included in the game.
Yeah, because I guess if you're gonna make a snowboard game or a ski game, you might as well implement the other.
Exactly.
I don't know too much about gaming like development, but I can't imagine that it should be pretty similar to implement one if you've implemented the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, most of the systems are already there, and we've built the world. We've got all the trick systems and mechanics and the physics, and so it's really just the art side of things, the character, the animations and stuff like that, and the brands.
Yeah. So, but you also implemented snowmobiles?
Yeah.
Right? How come?
We saw snowmobiles as, again, you know, we had the world, we had everything there, we had a snowmobile built, so why not try to set it up as a vehicle? People want more options of how to get around the mountain, and the snowmobile provided us with a way to completely approach the mountain in a different way. So now you can ride up the mountain instead of just down the mountain. And so we see it more as a tool. It's not one of the main sports. It's just sort of a, like the drone. It's like a tool for you to better understand the mountain and explore the world around you.
Cool. So about the game. So it's an open world game, right? And that means that you can basically, there's a big mountain, you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
And you ski around and you can go backcountry.
Yeah.
Park.
Yeah. All that's there. And then that's just the sort of exploration side of things. And we really wanted to focus on that for a while and make sure that you can go around the mountain as much as you want. There's a lot to explore. The areas that we've built on the mountain are all inspired by things you'd find on a mountain, but we've packed it all together onto one mountain. So there's, you know, an old castle that you can explore. There's a hydroelectric dam, there's a crashed plane, all these things we've built on the mountain for you to find and to trick off and test your skills in different ways. So there's lots to explore, and then once you're done with that, you can compete in events. So you can do races or slopestyle events, rail jams, big airs, different things like that, time trials. And that'll either show you more of the mountain that you may not have seen, or test you your ability to do tricks or how to ride and stuff like that.
You're a small independent game studio, and this is the first game you make together.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with the idea of making a snow game?
I mean, it's the love of the sports. We came together, and you know, I've grown up skiing and snowboarding. That's like the one hobby that I have that I'm very good at. And I've always wanted a snowboarding or skiing game, and there's never been one that sort of lived up to my expectations. And as I got experience in the games industry, I realized, you know, maybe that's the thing that I do is make the sort of definitive winter sports game that people look back on and be like, that's the one that represents the sports correctly. And so we discussed it, and we thought naively that the three of us could do something and build some type of prototype that could allow us to raise money or launch it or something like that, make some money, and then grow the team and build the game out fully. So we started on it, and I mean, we've been pretty successful so far with raising money and launching on Steam and the beta, and now on PS4 soon. So we've been pretty lucky, but it also shows that, you know, there are people out there that want a game like this. There are tons of skiers and snowboarders. I think about 120 million of them around the world. And, you know, a large amount of them can't do the sport all the time and have a console or have a PC and want to play enjoy the experience when they're not on the mountain, and this gives them the opportunity to do that.
Cool. Yeah, that's so true. Can't believe no one has done it before, really.
But, well, there's a game called Skate, which a lot of people are familiar with, and that game sort of gave me the idea that this authentic reproduction of the sport is possible. They really showed that if you focus on the core mechanics of skateboarding, you and build an open world that is built as a basically massive skate park, you could do some sort of really interesting game. So we said that's sort of what we based off our design off. But EA had a good 100 people to make that game, and we were 3 to start. So yeah, it's a big undertaking.
Yeah. But I guess you have to be a bit naive in order to
totally
succeed. So what is the biggest challenge in creating a game like this?
Expectation, I think, is the biggest challenge. You know, other than the whole technical side of things, people nowadays, when they see a sports game or hear about a sports game, whether it's, you know, football or skiing, they think, they look back at, you know, they look at the other games like FIFA, and they look at the quality that game has been built at. I mean, they've got motion capture, they've got some of the latest technologies, they're running at 60 frames per second, they have all the biggest athletes and everything. And they forget that that game has been built over the last 20 years. You know, it's one of the biggest selling franchises ever. It's got, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars poured into it for R&D and iterated every year, and they just keep improving it. And we kind of have to hit that mark as close as we can on our first try. So people expect every bell and whistle and every, you know, amazing technology to be in the game. But it's, for us, that's impossible. We have to cut some corners and give up on some of the features that we really want, because it's just not feasible at this point to implement them. But hopefully we get the opportunity to keep iterating and to keep building the game further and further. And, you know, when we're cutting a feature that we really want, we are not cutting it forever. We're sort of saying, let's come back to this in a year and see if we can, you know, if we have the resources to do it then.
Yeah. Are you, I guess, a difficulty for a lot of, for example, ski movie studios, is that, like, you work and you produce for like a year or 2 years, and that's just expenses, and you wait for all the income to come long after you've done everything, and you risk a lot on one production.
Yeah. Well, that's the way we kind of avoided that, was that we launched the game as quickly and early as we could. So we launched the game in a pre-alpha, alpha sort of the first playable of the game. We launched that sort of this time 3 years ago. So in late 2013, we launched the pre-alpha, and that gave us some money to continue funding development. And the support that we got from the community allowed us to keep going. And that then also allowed us to show investors, hey, you know, people want to play this game, we're making money from it. And that allowed us to raise money to then kind of add to the development costs.
Cool. And a lot of sports game, they build on like a massive character, like...
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, Tony Hawk, obviously. Did you ever think about doing that?
I dream about, you know, being able to work with these big athletes and being able to work really closely with a big athlete and being really connected to that athlete. But the sport isn't about a single athlete. I mean, other sports have it. Others, you know, golf has Tiger Woods, and skateboarding had Tony Hawk, but skiing and snowboarding doesn't have a single person that does both, or even two people. I mean, it's such a, the sport is getting ever younger. I mean, the people that are competing and that are putting off the triple corks at X Games are getting younger and younger, and the same athlete 1 year is not the same athlete the next year because they're getting older. So we kind of said, you know, let's not focus on that. Let's work with athletes like we have, and include them in the development and create content with them. But let's create a game that doesn't stand for a single sport or a single athlete or a single brand. And that's why we call the game Snow. Just, yeah. That's it. I mean, that's what you're riding on, and that's what everybody hunts over the winter, yeah, and throughout the year. So let's focus on that and then work with all of these people and all these amazing brands, but not sort of highlight a single person.
Fair enough. So you work a lot with, you mentioned Tanner Hall, Jon Olsson. What do they bring to the game?
They bring knowledge, experience. They, you know, as much as I like to think I'm a great skier, I can't do the tricks that these guys can do. I can imagine what it would be like, but the actual feeling of it, how fast you're actually spinning when you're doing 1080s and stuff like that, I can't do it, so it's hard for me to gauge that. So work, you know, having them play the game and giving them a course that, you know, they've run down or features that they can kind of feel like they understand what they would be like in real life, and then having them do tricks off them in the game, they can say, oh, you know, you spin a little too fast or too slow. This isn't really how it looks when you do this grab, and then we can go back and make these changes. So it's their, you know, first-hand experience that helped us the most.
Cool. So you just bring them in and they play and they give you
feedback? We try to. When they're in town, we try to have them come over and just play the game and watch how they play the game, see, you know, what they think. Most of these guys are gamers, so they're quite quick at giving us feedback and telling us what they like and don't like, and then we try to make changes. And that's how we've always worked, even with our community on PC. I mean, we have a lot of dialogue with them. You know, they tell us what they like and what they don't like, and we try to incorporate that into our updates.
So, like, in terms of reality, what's the, like, how many corks can you do? Can you do like a triple?
Triple cork. Quad? I mean, if you get enough air, you can definitely do quad. I mean, there are places on the mountain where you can get some serious air. And if you don't land on a flat, you can theoretically survive. So you can definitely do a quad, but it's not easy to find space to do that. There's maybe two or three places on the mountain you can do it, and it requires skiing very fast down very steep areas and between rocks to do it. So it's not so easy.
Oh, cool. The skiing industry is, like, in many ways built on collaborations between brands and athletes and stuff. Was it hard to bring brands like Red Bull or K2 onto your game?
Once we had athletes and we had something to show, then it became a lot easier. You know, the brands like to follow their athletes, and so once we had Tom Walsh partnered with us, and you know, they knew that he was working with us, then going to Line and Full Tilt and Scott was much easier. And once we got, you know, a few of them on board, some of them had, you know, parent companies or sister companies that we could reach out to, and then after we had, you know, six or seven brands, going to another brand or getting introduction through managers and whatnot was much easier, and we had something to show from there. So then it sort of snowballed, and now we have brands emailing us saying, hey, I've seen the game, yeah, I see you've got other brands, can we be part of it? And now we have to, unfortunately, make decisions on which brands we include or not, because we have so many brands, we can't necessarily make all their clothing that quickly.
Is it like, do they pay you to be part of it, or do you pay them to?
Yeah, it's good. So traditionally, yeah, you'd have a brand pay as a marketing cost, yeah, to the game developer. And the more they pay, sort of like sponsors, the more they pay, the better the item is.
Yeah.
But we, again, sort of sticking with that whole sort of disassociation from specific brands and athletes, I didn't want that to be the case. So instead, we're paying the brands. And since players purchase all the items individually as microtransactions, we can actually send royalties to the brands based on their items that sell. So every quarter I compile a list of all the K2 items that were sold, and I can send that list to them and say, you know, this is what everyone bought, this is how much money we made from your brand, and here's your royalty check.
Really?
And that's great for us because, you know, we see this as instead of a single game with a single launch, we're building a game more as a service. And that means we can work with these brands since we're paying them every quarter. We can work with them as long as people are buying their content and as long as they're sending us new content to put in the game. We can keep building it and working with them and coming up with cool ways to market the game together.
Hmm. That's really cool. Hmm. So maybe the future of ski clothing is digital ski clothing.
Yeah, I mean, they're all surprised when I send them a check for a few $1,000. They're like, wow. This is, people are buying virtual items, but I mean, yeah. When you're spending hours in a game, it's fun to dress creatively and represent how you want to look on the mountain.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The word on everyone's lips in gaming right now, I guess, must be virtual reality.
Yeah.
Will Snow ever be available in virtual reality?
So we've got a prototype of it working with Oculus already. We showed the game to Oculus about 3 years ago, and they were super excited by it. We have a first-person mode, so it's not too far from that. The biggest issue is that it's extremely intense. Riding down a mountain fast in virtual reality is a lot of information your brain has to process, so it can be a little nauseating.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other issue is, you know, because of that, we need to limit the game a little bit. I mean, we can't let people do triple corks because, I mean, when the athletes are doing it, they're spotting the ground, but they're, you know, they're in feeling the motion.
Yeah.
When you're doing it in virtual reality, your brain gets totally confused.
Yeah.
And you get sick. So we need to kind of tune the game. You know, it doesn't need to be an open world virtual reality skiing game. It can just be a virtual reality skiing game. So we can make special levels for virtual reality that are a little less crazy,
yeah.
Maybe. And then maybe limit the amount of tricks you can do. Maybe remove tricks entirely or remove some of the tricks. And just find a balance where the game is not nauseating.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, it seems like such a straightforward thing, but once you start working with it, and I think that's a lot of VR in general, once you start actually developing for it, there's a lot of things you have to pay attention to, because once you mess with the brain,
yeah.
It gets kind of crazy.
So I wanted to talk to you about the evolution of snow games. We already touched that subject.
Yeah.
They came like classic, like really old school ski games like Ski or Die from 1990. And we had a lot of those snowboarding games in like PS2,
yeah,
like SSX and Evolution Snowboarding.
Yeah.
But then like skiing and snowboarding progressed a lot. Uh-huh. And gaming also progressed a lot, but we didn't really get like skiing games didn't progress that much for some reason. Why is that, do you think?
I think the publishers that were making them were approaching them in the wrong way. They're approaching them like one-off games or franchise games that were more like a first-person shooter or action game rather than a sports game. And so they try to focus on a story mode. They try to focus on a lot of things that I don't think they were understanding their users the correct way. And then they were building something because of this, you know, building a story in a game like Skate. It takes a lot of time. And that makes it more expensive to build a game and requires you to charge $60 for it. And that doesn't work because players, I mean, they didn't need, once they had Skate 1, they didn't need Skate 2. Because Skate 1 was pretty good just riding around. So the business model of, you know, every other year launching a game, a sequel for $60, I don't think was feasible in the long term for it. And that's why we've gone free to play, because we think that that allows us to build the game as a service. So we're constantly improving it, constantly adding new content, but we're not trying to sort of sell the same game every other year.
That's cool. So you think that's going to be like the winning business model for games?
Not every game. Our game is unique because we have this open world and the core mechanics there. And then we can sell you all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Some games it doesn't work, but we think it works for Snow.
Cool. So Snow was definitely the first game to be out there with saying that here's an open world skiing game. But this winter, we will also see two big releases, except for you. And that's Steep and also Mark McMorris' Infinite Air, which is just a snowboard game.
Yeah.
What's your view at the competition?
I'm excited. When talking to, potential investors and stuff like that, they ask, where is the competition? And I say, there is none. Though that's great for us that there isn't any competition, it's not a good sign about people's view on the market. Seeing now that there are two games, which, I'm going to go and say that I think we inspired them. I'd like to believe we inspired them, especially Steep. I think there's a lot of similarities between what we've done and what they're doing. We have these two games now, and we're all going to be driving each other to make better games. I know that the team here, Poppermost, once we saw these games and we started seeing videos, we started looking at the way they handled things, because we all share the same challenges. Working with snow as a sort of texture is not easy. You can't blend two assets together because you get a seam. You're dealing with working with terrain or working with meshes. And there's all these complications that come into that, and then the physics behind all of it. When you're riding down a mountain, it's not so easy to just let physics take control. We spent a huge amount of time getting physics working correctly, so that you're turning and you're sliding and all that stuff, and it's not so easy to get the game you want because of that. And so we can see when looking at these other games that we see how they've approached it differently, and sometimes that inspires us to do some things differently. Sometimes we see that they've done something better, and so then we'll say, okay, let's try to include that because we think that'll actually make the game better, our game better. So competition is always a good thing. More eyes on the space, more people talking about winter sports games is great. But we think we still have our game is more competitive. We have the best of both of those games. Steep has the all the sports. It's got a really nice open feeling to it. Mark McMorris has a lot more focus on the core mechanics like we do. And I think, we have in the end all the major sports. We have, soon we'll have a level editor, which will be fantastic, feature to have. And we've got all the biggest brands and athletes and events. So I think we will stay definitely in the limelight and hopefully survive.
Yeah. And also, as you said, your business models are pretty different.
Exactly. That's a great point. Yeah. Infinite Air is going to be $50. Steep's going to be $60. Yeah. On PlayStation 4, we're going to be $20. So, you know, people can make the decision with their wallet if they want to save some money.
So, as you said, it seems like you got the idea of an open world snow game, but you also had the courage to really try it out. And then a big studio like Ubisoft comes around and creates Steep.
Mm-hmm.
What's your view on that? Like,
yeah, I mean, I always wish we had more resources. You know, we're a team of 7.
Yeah.
Ubisoft, they're probably a team of 50 to 100 working on the game. To think of what we could achieve with that. But at the same time, you lose a little bit of the touch of, you know, of being handmade. The entire team here, our community knows the entire team here by name, which you won't get anywhere else. It's more of a corporate kind of marketing strategy. Community management strategy. So I think we have a much more personal feel. I think our brand of snow has shown over the last few years that we really respect the sports. And I think that that's not easy to have when you're a big team, because, you know, if you're hiring 50 people, how many of them really care about skiing and snowboarding? How many of them actually ski and snowboard? How many of them understand skiing and snowboarding and what they stand for? And I think those are things that are clear with, you know, the team at Poppermost and Snow, that maybe Ubisoft will lose a little bit of, and Infinite Air will lose a bit of as well.
Yeah. Speaking of like gaming culture, I imagine that when you develop a game, one of the most important parts, like, or what you dream of, is creating a great community, because usually successful games are the ones with a strong community.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose.
For sure.
How do you keep that in mind when creating the game?
I mean, for us, it's always been talk to the community. We've always tried to answer questions. You know, you get a lot of angry people who, you know, didn't know the game was going free to play when we launched originally, and wrote us angry emails or posted on threads saying, you know, that they hate us and stuff like that. And we respond to that, and we explain to them our thought process and why we make the decisions we make. And in the end, that builds a stronger community. And some of these people, they get their questions answered or their feedback answered. And, you know, even if it was negative feedback and they dislike the game, just by answering them, sometimes they realize, oh wait, these are real people that are, and they care about what they're building. And these people then turn into supporters of the game, and they then go and answer questions that other people have, and it sort of has a knock-on effect. So we've always just tried to respond to everything and be the kind of development team that people describe as, you know, responsive.
Cool. That's really, it's a nice way to make business, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a pleasure for us. For me, you know, if you told me 5 years ago that I'd be working on a skiing, snowboarding game where people, you know, play the game, and we have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people playing the game and talking to us about it and being passionate about it, and, you know, people, we have some t-shirts and stickers and, you know, that they want those, you know, to wear the t-shirt around town and stuff like that. I mean, that's, I'm flattered.
Yeah. And also, I was a bit fascinated when I did research, and I obviously ended up on YouTube. First I saw all these edits that people make.
Like, yeah.
Like they would normally do in real life.
Yeah.
And like editing with music and like big shots over the mountain and stuff. But made with snow.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah, we that was one of the early features we added as a replay manager, so that people can do this, because not only for myself that I like to do it, and, you know, all the traders that we make, I use the replay manager to do that, but also it gives our users something to do and another way of expressing themselves. And for the size of our game, if you look at the stats, we have a ridiculous number of YouTube videos because of it. And this is, again, part of the culture of the sports is filming what you do and showing off your style, one of our key sort of marketing messages is define your style. And that's part of it, is to, you know, show how you ride, how you dress through screenshots and videos.
Yeah. That's like the perfect PR strategy.
Exactly.
If you can achieve it.
Yeah. And now even, because I've gotten so busy, what we do is we work with our sort of the talented community members that have shown several times that they know how to edit and film, film the stuff. And we work with them and have them help us make marketing materials. So we have this new sort of made by our riders slogan. Mm. So we have some trailers and videos where our community has made made the edit entirely. I mean, we give them a few things like it needs to say this or that, but otherwise they film the entire thing and edit the entire thing. And that's the best. I mean, to have a trailer when we launched snowboarding, the trailer for that was made by one of our users.
Really?
And that's one of the best things for me.
Cool. I also saw on YouTube that someone had recreated Jesper Schade's double backflip on Nine Nights. That was like...
Yeah, I mean, there's another other things where it's just like, wow. Like, not only does it show how accurate our game is, but it just reminds me that, you know, these people are coming up with creative ways of using the tools that we give them. And that went viral on Reddit, and it was fantastic to see. And I know Jesper was very proud of it.
That's cool. Do you ever get, like, surprised by the creativity?
All the time. That's why the replay stuff is one of my favorite features, because you see how users approach different features and seeing that what they do on them and how they can find new ways of gapping things and hitting different rails and stuff like that. I just, you know, I'm like, wow, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And that's the best. And they figured out how to do, you know, sort of a variation on butters and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't even know that was possible. Yeah. I have to learn how to do that now in the game that I designed.
So what does the closest future look like for Snow and for you?
Yeah, so we have the PlayStation 4 launch coming up, which will include the X Games level. So it's going to be a lot of great press, and it's a fantastic level. It's from the X Games 2016 course from earlier this year. So players are going to be able to spend a lot of time there. We then have the next game update, 0.9, which we are testing right now, and hopefully will release in November. And that will has a huge number of improvements to animations. We've got new areas on the mountain, lots of new features added to the replay manager. So now we've got proper focal length and aperture and stuff like that. And then another new level as well. And then from there, it'll be 1.0. So then we're finally ready to say we're no longer in beta. The game is done, ready to go, and ready to be officially launched.
That's cool.
And that'll be sometime this winter.
Exciting times.
Yeah. Stressful.
I can imagine. So, last question. Where do you see the game in 5 years from now?
I hope that, you know, we prove over the next, you know, 12 months that we are the winter sports game, and that winter sports games have a market that is there throughout the year, ready to support them and allow us to continue to develop the game. There's a lot, as I said, that we've sort of had to... a lot of features that we've had to cut or have to, you know, put on a to-do list that we'd like to come back to, and we'd like to keep building out the game and keep refining the features and the design and make it the game that everyone really wants to play all the time. And hopefully in the next few years we can have the opportunity to do that.
Cool.
But then we also, you know, if this works, we also want to look at other sports. Skateboarding has been something that is a sport that has had some games but hasn't been successful recently. So if we can do this with skiing and snowboarding, we think we can do it with skateboarding. We think we can do it with surfing and lots of other urban sports.
Surfing would be cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So, that's all I had. Thank you for...
thank you.
Very nice interview.
No, thank you.
Thanks. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
And I'm really looking forward to playing Snow on PS4.
Definitely. I'll get you a code.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.